Escape. When Susan Calvin returned from hyperbase, Alfred Lanning was waiting for her. The old man never spoke about his age, but everyone knew it to be over 75. Yet his mind was keen, and if he had finally allowed himself to be made Director Emeritus of Research with Bogart as acting director, it did not prevent him from appearing in his office daily. "How close are they to the hyperatomic drive?" he asked. "I don't know," she replied irritably. "I didn't ask." "I wish they'd hurry. Because if they don't, Consolidated might beat them to it. And beat us to it as well."
"Consolidated? What have they got to do with it?"
"Well, we're not the only ones with calculating machines. Ours may be positronic, but that doesn't mean they're better. Robertson is calling a big meeting about it tomorrow. He's been waiting for you to come back." Robertson of U.S. Robot and Mechanical Men Corporation, son of the founder, pointed his lean nose at his general manager, and his Adam's apple jumped as he said, "You start now. Let's get this straight." The general manager did so with alacrity. "Here's the deal now, Chief. Consolidated Robots approached us a month ago with a funny sort of proposition. They brought about 5 tons of figures, equations, all that sort of stuff. It was a problem, see, and they wanted an answer from the brain. The terms were as follows." He ticked them off on thick fingers. $100,000 for us if there is no solution and we can tell them the missing factors. $200,000 if there is a solution, plus costs of construction of the machine involved, plus quarter interest in all profits derived therefrom. The problem concerns the development of an interstellar engine." Robertson frowned, and his lean figure stiffened. "Despite the fact that they have a thinking machine of their own, right?" "Exactly what makes the whole proposition a foul ball, Chief. Lever, take it from there." Abe Lever looked up from the far end of the conference table and smoothed his stubbled chin with a faint rasping sound. He smiled. "It's this way, sir. Consolidated had a thinking machine. It's broken."
"What?"
Robertson half rose.
"That's right. Broken. It's kaput.
Nobody knows why, but I got hold of some pretty interesting guesses. Like, for instance, that they asked it to give them an interstellar engine with the same set of information they came to us with, and that it cracked their machine wide open. It's scrap. Just scrap now."
"You get it, Chief?"
The general manager was wildly jubilant.
"You get it? There isn't any industrial research group of any size that isn't trying to develop a space warp engine, and Consolidated and U.S. Robots have the lead on the field with our super robot brains. Now that they've managed to foul theirs up, we have a clear field. That's the nub, the, motivation. It will take them 6 years at least to build another, and they're sunk, unless they can break ours, too, with the same problem."
The president of U.S. Robots bulged his eyes.
"Why, the dirty rats."
"Hold on, Chief. There's more to this." He pointed a finger with a wide sweep. "Lanning, take it." Dr. Alfred Lanning viewed the proceedings with faint scorn, his usual reaction to the doings of the vastly better-paid business and sales divisions. His unbelievable gray eyebrows hunched low, and his voice was dry. "From a scientific standpoint, the situation, while not entirely clear, is subject to intelligent analysis. The question of interstellar travel under present conditions of physical theory is, vague. The matter is wide open, and the information given by Consolidated to its thinking machine, assuming these we have to be the same, was similarly wide open. Our mathematical department has given it a thorough analysis, and it seems Consolidated has included everything. Its material for submission contains all known developments of Franciacci's space warp theory, and apparently all pertinent astrophysical and electronic data. It's quite a mouthful." Robertson followed anxiously. He interrupted, "Too much for the brain to handle?" Lanning shook his head decisively.
"No. There are no known limits to the brain's capacity. It's a different matter. It's a question of the robotic laws. The brain, for instance, could never supply a solution to a problem set to it if that solution would involve the death or injury of humans. As far as it would be concerned, a problem with only such a solution would be insoluble. If such a problem is combined with an extremely urgent demand that it be answered, it is just possible that the brain, only a robot after all, would be presented with a dilemma where it could neither answer nor refuse to answer. Something of the sort must have happened to consolidate its machine. He paused, but the general manager urged on. Go ahead, Dr. Lanning. Explain it the way you explained it to me.